What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dual Screens Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, he's Andy Asimakis, and he also does this podcast. How are you doing, Andy?
We're all fresh-faced, relaxed, back from PAX.
Speak for yourself. Look in my eyes. They're a different shade from the rest of my face.
That was a lie. I was trying to hype myself up.
Please don't.
I don't know what day of the week it is anymore. I thought all day yesterday was Wednesday. I was off the entire day. But you know what, Steven?
Yeah.
You know what's not throwing me off?
What's not?
Actually, a little bit.
It's all right. Yeah, okay.
We have a game on today's show.
We do.
That it's a special kind of game. And I'll tell you why.
Interesting.
For a special reason.
Please.
How often? Because I manage all the bookings on this show.
Mm-hmm.
How often do I book a sports-related game to appear on this podcast?
Normally, only if I beg you.
You could count them on one hand, I feel, the amount of sports games
that uh-huh.
on the Dual Screens podcast.
Right.
So this is like to be featured
mm-hmm.
at a sports game and to come on this show, mm-hmm. it is the highest of accolades.
It is the highest of honors.
So please introduce.
Ladies and gentlemen,
very beardy guests.
Joining us this week are the very aptly named Dave Gagne and Sam Bouchard of Rage Cure Games, the developers of Goons, Legends, and Mayhem, an insane arcade hockey beat 'em up. That's right. A beat 'em up hockey game. So gentlemen, cool. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, hi guys.
I'm very excited to have you here. We fell in love playing you had this tiny little booth, and you had dozens of people trying to play the game, and you could sit for we kept letting the little cuz little kids were coming up. We were letting them sit down, take our spot cuz we're just four neckbeards waiting for the game. Yes, please.
We had an appointment. And we were about to hop on, and this lone child and I think their parent were waiting. So we're like, go ahead, you play. We can't kick the kids out. And then when they were done, another kid hopped on. And then after that, some guy in a wheelchair rolls up. We're like, come on, like, what else is there?
We're about to drop the gloves.
It was just... the niceness has a limit.
It does. Gentlemen, arcade hockey is back in full force here with Goons, Legends, and Mayhem. Give everybody the spiel. What is Goons, Legends, and Mayhem?
Yeah, so basically this is our modern take on the arcade hockey, like NHL 94, Blades of Steel, even like something like NHL 33 arcade, that sort of stuff. We kind of wanted to make a hockey game that would appeal to a bunch of hockey nerds, be it people that have been playing, you know, all hockey games like we've been, but also, you know, try to reel in some more people that like party games, more casual games, so something that you can really pick up and have fun right away without having to, you know, master a dozen mechanics and get, you know, ruined online or something like this. So that was really our goal with Goons.
Yeah, well, you nailed it. The cool thing is that the characters seem to have there's like a class of character. You have your enforcer. You have, I believe one was the like a sniper type
sharpshooter.
Yeah. Sharpshooter. And then the other one, I think, was like a skill or speed or I don't remember exactly. What was the other one?
Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah. So you mean our four characters?
Yeah.
Yeah. So our four characters, we have we had Brazier, the superstar of the game, the
right.
fiery wizard. We had
he's a sharpshooter.
Yeah, a sharpshooter. We had two enforcer that were in the demo. So you had the Valkyrie, which could made the shield that could block anything. You had also the clown that could throw pie mines that exploded in your face.
That's who I was, and I have no idea how I was throwing mines. I was just flying around with a banana and randomly throwing mines everywhere. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's tricky. You got to work it on your play with it. And the third one was the one who could freeze people up in Ice Cube.
Yeah,
we call this class the wingmen. So basically, the sharpshooter, which are more like usually they have better mobility to, you know, get the right spot in the game to score goals. The enforcers are more like controlling the play area, and the wingman is kind of a wild card. They can be helping their team. They can be giving the other team a grief, you know, by kind of ruining their chances of doing plays, that sort of stuff. So that's really like bold categories we use to kind of classify our characters. So this one is going to be a sharpshooter. So their abilities are going to be more like doing this or that. So it really creates classes that are, you don't have to play them as classes. It's just to say, oh, you want to score goals, maybe go in this direction, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was drawn to the clown because I'm a goalie myself, and he just was kind of dressed like a goalie. So I was like, all right, I'll do that. I identify as this. And then I forget who was on my team, but he also picked the clown. So I was like, all right, I guess we're just going to run around just beating the shit out of each other. And that's what's cool is that, you know, you do have the whole beat 'em up aspect of this thing. So there really are no rules. You could just go in and just start slapping your opponents all over the place. Just bodies flying everywhere, pie flying everywhere, bananas, fire, ice, everything you could think of is just being flung all over the ice there. It's almost like it almost feels like you're trying to beat the hell out of your opponent in order to get in a scoring position, as opposed to it being, I don't want to say secondary because the hockey is definitely in the forefront, but it's like it's sort of your secondary objective on each possession is to just beat them up, take the puck and get it into your zone and see what you can do.
What I like to say is basically you're trying to play hockey and all those elements are kind of preventing you from.
Yeah,
and that's the key to the game is to kind of, you know, move in between those obstacles that are there all the time and try to get that really narrow window to score. And I think you tried the classic ring, so just, you know, this classically shaped.
Yeah, it was just rink. Yeah, it was just ice, just a simple rink. Yeah.
So in we kind of ease people in the game with this classic ring because, just, you know, it's something, you know, it's a shape we all know. But we have five other stages come in on the release, and some of them are half rinks. So in that aspect, they would play kind of a little bit like half court basketball.
Oh,
so
cool. Kind
of have to go back in the zone. So there's only one goalie. And all of the other goalies, so you've seen like the kind of mild goalies, all of the other ones are kind of more aggressive.
I like
they will defend, but they will also attack. So they play a little bit like boss fights.
Ooh.
So that's another thing you're going to have to fight. There's the fishmonger, which is kind of the next stage. He's throwing, he's kind of shooting piranhas at you. He has this big pan can hit you with. There's fish mortar, so you're kind of throwing explosions on the play field. So you're trying to play hockey while everything of this happens. And so yeah, you're right. You're kind of trying to play hockey, and all those things are kind of you have to slalom between and find an opening.
You need like a psycho killer class and call it the slasher.
That'd be
that
great.
Is
That'd
that is the
great.
Extent of my hockey lore.
You did it. GG's Andy.
I get you're not a sports fans, but what goons really talk to you? Is it a more brawler element, the more in a casual party aspect?
It's the party vibe. It's the idea that I alone will sabotage the team, make us lose. We got a tie when we played. Surprised that we didn't lose horribly and embarrassingly. But again, I love like a blitz type of arcade.
Oh, right. You were on my team, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I was going to ask them for a pro tip. The developers.
You had no idea that we were both the same character, did you? Until we like scored that awesome goal.
Now this may be like an advanced tactic that you don't want to reveal to our audience, but how does one remain visible on the screen? I kept not being on the screen. I was off in the corner like doing blood.
I'm like, hey Andy, would you like to join the game? Would you like to join where the puck is at any moment?
Andy from a fan, and he was just trying to play it professional.
I'm
hockey.
Sitting there just beating the hell out of two dudes.
Like, one of these is turbo, and one of these does something else.
There's a few answers. The first part would be get good. And yeah. Then it would
literally know anything about hockey or about games.
Well, one thing's for sure is using the same character in one team is really making the game harder for yourself. That's for sure.
You see?
That's for sure. But once you can spot the colors, and you've played one game, right?
Listen, Dave.
One two-minute game.
He's asking you how he can simply move his character into the screen. This is not in any way a serious question. Do not dissect and try and teach this man who literally
That's
interviews.
That's exactly what I was trying.
You
do.
Play, Andy, you play like 12 different games a week. You know how to keep your character on the screen. This isn't new to you. Okay.
Oh man.
I think the problem was you had no idea which character you were.
This is also true. I was like, holy shit, I scored a goal, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Listen, that was a good play.
It was a one-timer right in the seam.
Yeah.
Circle to slot. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. I had both guys. I was like, bam, pass, boom, shoot, done, yeah. In and out. Let's go. And then
nice.
And on then, that note,
yeah.
I have a question about the goalie, which is
okay.
Some sort of animated piece of wood or cardboard.
Yeah. At least in that level, yeah.
Does
in
the player level. Who is it alive? Does the player control that, or does it just move of its own accord? How does that whole thing work?
It is an AI, yeah. Mm-hmm. It is always an AI. Mm-hmm. Like Steve mentioned, this is the goaltender for this level, but all other levels feature different goaltenders, mm-hmm. like I mentioned, gotcha. Which are basically boss fights, so they vary in shape and size, which is makes it more interesting, because one of them has really tiny legs, long tall legs, so you better shoot down. So you know, it kind of
Andy, that's called five hole. Five holes between the legs. You want to go five hole.
And he's kind of digesting everything.
The more legs they have, the more five hole there is. You understand?
I know hat trick. That's a thing that's in hockey.
Yes.
Sure.
We each.
So dumb.
The Gordie Howe hat trick was about to happen.
Is what a fight, a penalty, and a goal? And no. What is it? Is that it?
It's a fight, a goal, and an assist.
An assist. Right.
Yeah.
There's a variant with the fighting part.
I was just gonna punch him, like in real life. It was gonna be a physical altercation. I was like, oh, it's two on one every time. Our other members of Dual Screens, anytime they were in the offensive zone, it was me and them, and then Andy was down by our net doing God knows what.
Yeah.
But he was testing our off screen icon, right?
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah. Failure.
No. Steven always knew that I was off screen every moment of the game. He was like, do you want to join? Do you want to play?
He was just playing defense. He was playing defense.
I was waiting for the setup. I'd like to hear from our lovely mustached friend Sam here. Sam, what is your role in this crazy, chaotic arcade hockey game that you've put together?
Yeah, so on the game, I'm the art director. So I'm the lead in which things we're going to make real in the visual sense, if you will. So when we talk about the 2D assets, the UI, the UX, everything that's pretty much on the screen and visually.
Except Andy, because he was off screen.
He was off screen.
You were talking about the off screen indicator, and I was like, oh no, it failed you.
Can you make my face into an icon and have that be the off screen indicator icon? That
just
the best.
Oh, you know what? Actually, that would be a cool little like modifier to a match is having the players tethered to each other. And constantly pulling on this like rubber band and like slamming into each other if they go too far. They rubber band back.
Variation, sure.
Hell yeah, that'd be dope.
A special mode.
I'll never lose Andy. But that would be I'll never lose
Andy. Like,
we'll just
Andy
always lose.
Yeah.
We'll just always lose.
That's fine. Listen, it is what it is. So where did this game come from? Like, obviously, French Canadians, you're always got hockey on the brain, much like me in my in my hockey brain. I'm sure you've fantasized about making this game for years and years and years. Tell us about the genesis of Goons.
It's been a few years now. I'd like to say it's been 5 years in the oven. Something like this. We wanted to start a studio. It's been a while. I think I met Sam.
2014, we met each other, I think.
Yeah, something like this. Started working on some projects together with some other members of the team. And nothing serious at this point. And then we like, we need to launch our real production. And then there was a few opportunities with the pandemic and everything to go full time. And it's kind of hard just, you know, setting the structure that would eventually make you just earn enough money so we can make the game full time. That's a feat. So just planning this and like, okay, so what's that project we're going to be on for a few years? And we just, you're just pitching ideas. And then someone mentions, let's do a hockey game with superheroes. I'm like, superheroes. And I kind of hate superheroes. I think they're cliche at this point. So I'm just not a big fan, but I'm like, okay, hockey game, what can we bring to it? And then it kind of turned into, you know, characters, occupation, mages, that sort of stuff. So I'm like, oh, okay, it's kind of still has this superhero vibe without being like people in capes and, you know, high like boots or something. So like, oh, okay, that's cool. And then we kind of realize everyone has been playing hockey games, like arcade hockey games as kids, but like, we're kind of not playing anymore because, you know, NHL is like a really game for experts now. If you're not buying NHL every year for the last 12 years, you go online and there's no way you're having any sort of fun, right? You're just getting wrecked by everyone. So we're like, let's just try to do a game that would appeal to us as, you know, hockey enthusiast, but not necessarily hockey experts or, you know, someone that would be subscribed to the NHL franchise, that sort of stuff. So really make the entry point easier and lower for everyone. And if we can interest more people in hockey this way, I mean, that's a big plus.
And so both of that demographic right here on this podcast.
That's super interesting. I love it because that's really the goal, like to make a game that would spin the formula just enough so that hockey fans, hockey enthusiasts, like still think this is something interesting because that's a unique twist on something they know. And on the other end of the spectrum, kind of have people like, and usually I don't like hockey game, this looks really fun. Mm-hmm. And that's been our goal. So when you say I love this for this reason and someone on the other end says I love this for another reason, that's great. It's just I think we made exactly what we intended to do. So I think that's the gist of it.
So as you were talking, I had your trailer play for a couple of seconds there, the one you have on Steam. Some of these modes seem like it's almost like an adventure that you're kind of shooting a boss character, a truck or Zamboni rather. Couple of other, I see the fishmonger there. How does that work? Is that just a campaign mode that you're playing, and is that played both solo and with your friends? Like, how does that work?
So you want to jump on this one,
Sam? Yeah, sure. So for a solo mode, it's more like I don't know if you've ever played the Mario Tennis.
Yeah,
like boss battles and teach
game. Okay,
it's a lot like that. So we teach a player how to play, how to shoot pucks and everything. And every time you do a boss, it's one of our new maps. So you up on a new map, there's a new boss, a new goaltender that throw things at you. And in the multiplayer mode, it's almost the same thing, but the map now is flat. There's no elevation that the boss is alone on it, so you can play with the boss with your friends against it. So it shows similarly the same things at you, but with some twists that was made for the solo mode. So yeah. So in the multiplayer mode, you have the boss that comes forward and show things and hit you up.
And is there
so it is an adventure, really.
Yeah.
We intended to have it like basically it's a glorified tutorial, but it's also a way for us to use, you know, dialogues, have some lore, plug in Aki references, have mini games in there, and kind of make it really, we'll really see it as a big tutorial without feeling like a chore.
Right.
So, and you collect stuff, you can unlock visuals, you can unlock, you know, a bunch of stuff. And it kind of plays with the multiplayer in the sense that you can unlock stuff for the multiplayer. But if you don't want to play the story mode at all, then you can have like minimal interaction with it and just, you know, play the campaign, the multiplayer, I mean, with your friends. And so yeah, that's really that's one of the things that we always wanted to do, and we're like, we can't do this. It's just like, you know, hockey, yeah. Mario Tennis doesn't even do that in the capacity that we've done in terms of making a completely separate mode,
yeah,
with the you know, solo player, and you can still do matches with your friends to go through. There's a few matches in there to kind of try and mix up the formula. You move around in a Zamboni, a resurfacer, sorry. Can't use Zamboni, right?
why can't you use Zamboni? Is that trademarked?
Trademark.
It is a trademark.
No way.
Yeah, it is a trademark.
Interesting.
It's actually the name of the guy that invented the Zamboni. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, we can use it on the Frank Zamboni, I think. We can use it on the podcast, no issue.
Yeah, no, I just never thought that would be like, it's the Zamboni. It's not the resurfacer. Yeah.
Like, no, exactly.
So wow.
We don't use Zamboni, but our world is called Zambonia. So I don't know where we took that from. But
I now know four things about hockey.
You see, Andy, it uses water and steam to resurface the ice. It fills the ice, and then the coolant under the ice, the freezer, as it were, refreezes it into a smooth surface.
Thank you, Dr. Science.
You're welcome. No, that actually intrigues me quite a bit, because I was sort of thinking that this was going to be one of your classic, like, you just pick, you know, have you and your friend go through a season and try and win the championship. But this is like a twin stick wrist shooter.
Yep. In a way, yeah.
I like that.
Exactly. And we kind of use that, like I mentioned, to make you master the different mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal is really go online and kind of prepared to be a better player, really, because you've used these mechanics in the different contexts that kind of force you to, you know, kind of push the envelope. And it's nothing super complicated in terms that we don't have, like, overly difficult to master a mechanic, but really to have them kind of in a different context, sometimes a calmer one, a not so wild one, because in the matches sometimes, Andy, you've seen it, sometimes it gets it crazy. So it gives you this opportunity to kind of, you know, get comfortable with the mechanics, and then you can use them in the matches much more in a much better way.
I should have started there.
Yeah,
I think we should have started things.
One of the things we wanted also is really tell a story for our characters. So each character has a little backstory, a little place in the world that it's them. So we're really proud about that.
So go ahead.
On that note, what are some of your favorite characters and their abilities?
Go ahead.
I would, you know, I got a few answers because I don't want to make any of our characters sad.
I understand.
They are alive. You know? I would say probably my favorite character to play at the moment would be Grimask, the clown one.
Mm-hmm.
But I would probably be the least useful on the ice with it. I just love to mess around with this character, you know, and his mechanics are a little more complex because you can use them in different contexts. Like there's the pie throw, so you can throw it on the ground or just leave it on the ground behind you. So it's kind of good if you have someone just following you, you drop it and it explodes in their face, or you can fence off a portion of the ice by putting three of them in a row so people won't go that zone. Or you can also glide using what you thought was a banana, but really it's a balloon. Just a
it's a banana. Balloon. Don't stop lying to me.
It's taking so balloon. Many notes right now.
My head cannon is banana. So
so you can actually glide over the play area and drop those spies on people. So that's really a good thing, because if you throw it or drop it on someone, it's like they have the pie in the face, and eventually they will explode. But also, from the time they have the pie in the face to the explosion, their controls are inverted. So it's super difficult to play, which is, it's just amazing. It's just really cool to see people, oh no, my controls. And so that's, it's just a blast to play. But I would say I'm not the most useful with that character, but I really love playing it. What would be yours, Sam?
Yeah, mine. I think I don't know if you've played against him in your match attacks, but it's Blaze, the little kid with the snowball guns, or the one that throws people up, because of his gameplay. That's really I love just freezing all other players on the ice, like and aiming for them with my ice ball. I think it's one of the coolest mechanic in the game. Yeah, just with he's got two powers. So one is shooting one snowball at a time, and the other is like a snowball shotgun, so you can froze people instantly instead of over time. So yeah, I like it pretty much.
That's a kind of Sub-Zero in a hockey game. I love it.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the hockey, okay? So you have all these powers for against the opponent. What kind of powers can you use to make the hockey part better? Like, are there any super shots or like crazy trick passes you can do, or, you know, things like that?
So in terms of mechanics, there's a classic, you know, the pass. There's a slap shot. With the slap shot, you kind of have the same NHL mechanic that you can aim where you want in the goal. So top corner, but whatever you want. So that's actually helpful. There's also, you know, just the regular wrist shot, which is faster. There's a dash that can also be used either as a cross check or just, you know, reposition yourself. But there's, of course, the one timer, classic. You don't know. The last one would be what we call the power slap shot. So if you hold down a slap shot, you actually get into first person mode, and you can actually aim wherever you want in the goal. It kind of stops the game. Everything goes super slow speed. And so that really gives you a really good chance to score. But it's kind of hard to pull off, because you kind of have to have no one cross check you in the meantime. As the other characters, you can also be in front and try to stop the line, and that would actually knock you out, but at least you can try to stop it. But that's super dangerous once you have one character that's kind of good at being in the safe spot and do this. You gotta watch out, because they're really dangerous.
When Grimmask does it, we should call it a chuckle puck.
That's good.
And when you shoot it, it's just like the puck laughs on the way to the net.
Well, actually, we do have there is a random chance when you drop a pie and it explodes. There's a random chance that you have one of the clown laughs.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, it is. I love it.
What were you gonna say, Sam?
On that last one, we like to don't tell people when the first time they try. So that's maybe why you haven't seen that while you played, because we don't tell people. And if they try it and they find out for themselves, well, we like the scream and the, oh, what is happening? What is happening? So we keep it a secret.
I like that. I like that a lot. It's very satisfying to skate around and just slam into your opponents and just watch them go flying. Very NHL hits. Ask to me like that. That was my favorite arcade hockey game. NHL Hits was just so dope. Just being able to just lay dudes out, just super slap shots from across the whole ice. Just a ton of fun. I'm looking at some of these multiplayer like maps, and I see like there's like trees and a forest here. Like there's a path to skate around. Like you guys have a lot of really cool, interesting stuff. Talk a little bit about your rink design.
You mean our process or?
No, just like what the, yeah. I mean, it,
yeah,
you, how are, yeah. Just like to tell the listeners and viewers about different kinds of rinks that they're going to encounter and what they have to look forward to.
So maybe we should keep some of them secret.
Keep some a secret, but like,
yeah. So, well, you've got the classic one that we mentioned,
yeah.
Which is kind of the ending of the first level of the adventure mode. So there's a whole path that leads you there in the story mode.
Gotcha. But
when you play the match, you kind of have already at this spot. So it's basically a Zamboni garage. So there's a Zamboni junkyard farther away that you can't see from that level, but you see it in the story mode. Otherwise, in the demo, there was another map, which is the Viking boat. So this one already gets crazier, a big notch, I'd say. So this one, you got your Jarl goaltender, so basically some sort of Viking who masters the wind. So he has a bunch of shields around him. They can actually shoot and destroy, so that kind of lowers his defense because he cannot block as good anymore. And the boat will tip to one side or the other from time to time, and that kind of changes the physics. So that kind of pushes everyone and the puck on one side. I think my favorite thing in the game is for Sam to free someone using Blizz and then see the ice cube just rolling.
Light off the ice, yeah.
that's the best thing. It just puts a smile on my face every time. Maybe you want to talk about another one, Sam.
Yeah.
Pick one.
Pick one. Which one will I pick?
Could talk about
the castle one?
Yeah,
go ahead. Sure. So one that's one of my favorite.
Yeah.
We based it off the, I don't know if you know, in Quebec City, the castle. I just lost the name in my
Chateau Frontenac.
Yeah, the castle of Frontenac, which is a big place in Quebec City, and it's the rink is made with little bridges that will drop mid game. So if you run on it, you can drop into the water. There's crocodile down there, so it's gonna, they're
perfect,
gonna spit you out. So there's some place like that you need the clown to fly over if you need to go over real fast, so you can wait to the bridge to come back up. But yeah, that's another map that has got a unique feature, different from all the rest.
Yeah, it's basically a castle under siege, and you're playing hockey. There's catapults throwing stuff.
It's so zany. I love it. So good.
Crazy zany action on the crazy contraption.
When is this crazy zany hockey game
coming soon? That's what it says.
Soon. We can't say the date. It's gonna be for 2023 for sure. We're kind of aiming for a summer fall release at the moment. There's making games is hard.
Other platforms, copy and paste. You're fine. It's easy.
Almost.
Drag and drop, baby. Drag and drop.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, you just have to remove a few semicolon and you're,
yeah, there you go.
I believe
optimizations.
PlayStation.exe done. Yeah. Way to go.
That's something we can say for sure, though, that the game is going to be on a PC, on Nintendo Switch, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. It's also going to be in a bunch of languages. We know this. The date is still to be yet to be confirmed, but it's on the way.
Dope.
Was this your first time bringing it to a big convention like PAX East?
We've been to Gamescom, mm-hmm, in Germany. And I gotta say, like, the reception in PAX was great.
Mm-hmm.
But it was amazing. I think Gamescom was kind of, we don't know how this is gonna turn out.
Oh, really?
Because you know, in PAX, you're in the United States, there's a bunch of hockey fans. People are more familiar with the sport, or even like big huge fans. I mean, Boston, you have a bunch of fans there. So I was not worried about PAX, but Gamescom was like, kind of don't know. There's not a huge market for hockey in Europe in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, a few countries like Sweden, Finland,
Eastern European. You know, there's a,
indeed,
yeah.
But you know, like France, Germany, UK, it's not a huge market for hockey. People know what it is, but it's not like you don't check through the channels on the TV.
Right. And then, they're not looking to watch and enjoy hockey. It's just
exactly. So yeah, and with the reception we got in Gamescom, we kind of knew like, oh, this is gonna work. People were just crazy about a game. The Gamescom is like 4 or 5 days in a row. People would come every day, replay games with other people. I was like, oh, that's amazing. We got people hooked. And the game was not in the state that you played it. I mean, this was in August of last year. So, I mean, there's like 7 months of development in between. And people already were like, this is awesome. So Gamescom was probably our, okay, we're doing something right. Let's just keep going. This is going to work.
Well, I can't wait to get my gloves on it.
Well, on what platform do you think you'll play?
All of them.
I think Steam.
Well, Steam, because we each have a Steam Deck now, so this will be, you know, we'll be able to take it on the go.
Yeah.
That's dope. And the great thing is that the Steam Deck can be docked using my third party Switch dock, so I could just throw that on the TV easily. Yeah, no problem.
That's cool.
It's dope. The Steam Deck is like, oh man, it's the perfect little machine.
I've heard so much good about it. I haven't put my hand on it, unfortunately, but everyone that has one is just like, man, this is just so great. It's just a really small PC.
Yeah.
You play almost anything on it, which is kind of crazy.
I've pushed this thing where I'm like, yeah, that I could, this is playing. This is totally fine.
This is awesome.
You could also plug in a mouse and keyboard into it.
Really?
Yeah, nice. If you just put a USB-C like dongle whatever into it, you can just plug your keyboard and mouse right in there, and you can play ARPGs, CRPGs, no problem. And it has the trackpads, it's got the touch screen, it's just a fantastic machine.
And it's like the one-stop emulation station. It's like
I'm not a pirate. Andy's a pirate.
Nobody says to talk about piracy.
No,
it plays every old console like beautifully.
Sure.
So
I play the new stuff like Goons, Legends, and Mayhem. Now,
like Blades of Steel.
Speaking of new stuff,
the only hockey game I'm probably actually kind of.
Blades of Steel. I still have my cartridge.
Me too. It's up there.
So do I.
I mean, that was like, I remember that. So that was the first Nintendo game I ever played. I was young enough where it made sense to me. Like, I didn't have to read anything. I just picked the red, white, and blue characters because I knew they were the Rangers, and that was it.
Yep.
So, and it just the first time you bump into somebody three times and then they start punching each other.
Yeah.
And it goes to the screen. You're just like,
you guys need that shit, by the way. it's not too late.
We talked about fighting a lot. There's another mechanic we want to put in that we can't talk about it at the moment.
But
you know,
there's something we want to do that's kind of different, but still in that fight. Kind
of. What if you do the complete opposite of fighting, where when they fight and they're about to fight, they stand on two podiums and you have to insult each other with like randomly generated like insults and then it's like whoever is it's like a diss simulator and the loser gets put in the penalty box for like 30 seconds. Just no punches thrown, just yelling at each other.
Just feelings.
And your mother dresses you funny. Oh yeah, well your hat is stupid. Just like, oh man.
But your mother is dead.
Well, Andy. Andy.
That got a dark turn really quick.
So we played.
I'm just hoping everybody's mom out there is doing great.
I hope everybody's happy and healthy. We played 2v2, but I noticed that this could be 3v3. Is that correct?
Yep.
Up to 3v3?
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah, up to 3v3. Nice. If you're only one player on each side, you can still fill with butts.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And what's cool with butts is actually if you're always playing your character, right?
Yeah.
But you can send a pass to a butt. And you can ask for the pass back. So we can actually, like, you're controlling the movement and abilities of a single character.
That's
but
cool.
Actually, we can still do pass plays and work and that sort of stuff, which is really cool. It actually holds up really well, even 1v1 with butts. It's actually a ton of fun.
With your accent, it sounds like you're saying butts.
Butts.
And I'm okay with it.
Butts.
Yeah. I'm okay with it.
Butts, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying.
If we'll just add butts.
No, I am saying
I want to take a pass from the butts. you could
giant asses on the screen.
Yeah, exactly.
You could just load your team up with butts.
Asses of steel.
they can be asses sometimes. Actually, I think at PAX we didn't use them from time to time because they were super difficult against some players. They almost harass you. So I think it depends. Sam might have given you those butts.
I like it.
I'm not sure.
I'll never turn down a team of butts. Gentlemen, speaking of butts, it's now time to get into rapid fire. This is where we get to know you.
And your butts.
And your butts. And we're gonna know it all.
I'll make sure butts tick.
All right. We're literally going to ask you questions. You're going to answer them, and then we're going to move on. They're going to range from the absurd to the more absurd.
Cool. Do you want us to?
We'll direct them. We'll direct them.
We'll address each of you.
Sure. Okay.
Right, cool.
I'm so,
now.
Dave, you are tasked. I want to know what your nickname for Sam is. And then Sam, what is Dave's nickname?
Sam's nickname, I would say Passless Sam.
Passless Sam, you shall not pass.
And my form is my beautiful bearded man.
Oh, my beautiful bearded man. Dave, the beautiful bearded man, Gagne.
Wait, passless or assless? I didn't hear.
He said.
Wait, you can pick whichever.
Wow.
Prefer.
Wow.
Ouch.
Get on the Stairmaster, Sam.
Passless. The gag is Sam does not never do pass. So that's
play solo.
Neither did I, but that's because I didn't know where my teammate was.
You had
no that's idea where he was. Andy, it's your turn.
Dave, would you consider cutting off the bottom of your beard to finish what Sam started over there?
Oh man. I would do it for a good cause. Like for leukemia or something, I would do it. Yeah.
Okay. Sam, you just know what to do now.
Yeah.
Just stand in front of a microwave and see what happens.
Oh god. I don't want to see what happens.
Spoiler alert, nothing, because it doesn't, it's completely harmless. Let's see. Sam, you're sleeping. You're doing one of those, right? All of a sudden, your phone rings. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That's the phone from 1998. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You answer. This is the Canadian police, the Mounties. Dave's been arrested. What was his crime?
He drank beer without me.
Oh, okay. So you called the police on him?
That's a major offense.
He's getting
Canada.
Drunk without me.
I called the cavalry on him.
RCMP.
Mounted police. Get him.
I like it.
Get this scoundrel.
Yeah, wait, you said you call the Calgary or the Calgary? See, I know more hockey things than I think I do.
Calgary's a city.
Doesn't matter.
I call boats.
It's still
everybody needs to know about it.
When I hear that, I think of hockey.
What province is Calgary in, Andy?
I don't fucking know. I don't know. Your sister's ass.
Alberta.
Correct.
I know most of what I know about Canada from pro wrestling, by the way.
Nice.
Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
I'm going to ask this to both of you. You can answer. We'll start with Sam first. Would you rather have all of your teeth be gold teeth or have half of your teeth missing? Hmm. And it's like one row of teeth. It's either top or bottom row is all gone, not like gapped out. It's one or the other.
I think it'd be more interesting if like the left side was missing.
A nightmare fuel.
I think I'll go with all gold.
You could smell shiny, like that.
Yeah.
Shiny polished. No.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Polished shiny gold teeth. Yeah.
Polished shiny gold teeth. Dave?
So what part is missing? Is it the bottom part is missing?
Well, I think Steve threw a fun multiplier in there. So we'll do either it's one of the rows or just half. So half on one side or your whole top or your whole bottom row.
I mean, it would probably aesthetically would be super weird, but probably would be less of a problem if you have one side, because at least you can chew
on the one side. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, what do you want to just, I will still go with gold teeth. Yeah.
Dave, would you rather have a lizard tongue or a lizard tail?
Lizard tongue. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. Freak people out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. People do that. It's weird.
Yeah, I know.
It's creepy.
It's super dangerous too, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you can actually
like sever a nerve or something.
Yeah, yeah. And not feel anything.
No bueno.
Yeah, no, that's not good.
Sam, if the sport of hockey were illegal, what would the street name be?
I don't know. The hockey renegade.
Ooh.
The hockey rogue. Something shady.
Hockey rogue.
That you can only get like the shadow of a back alley. Yeah.
Get some ice. Ice slaps.
Ice slaps.
Yeah, like all like the shady men go up in and into a
kid
want a puck.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, just, you want a puck? Just, yeah, you were just saying just you want a
opening
puck.
Opening your
want a puck. Give him one.
This is for both of you. We'll start with Sam. What position did you play, or do you play?
I have never officially played, but I've only played like. Street, if you go to the near neighborhood,
rink. Yeah,
I've done that.
You always maybe defense.
That's what that. So you were the slow guy that didn't really skate very well. I got it.
I'm the one who tried to steal a puck most of the
time. Dave, you look like you got some size. Just don't disappoint me and say defense as well.
Defense.
Yeah,
right. For sure. Quite aggressive defense.
Okay.
Kind of. Yeah.
You like to pitch in offensively.
Yeah. Scored a few goals, but usually I'm always with people around me that can actually master the stick.
Sure.
So
sure.
There to cause trouble.
I like it.
I actually own hockey sticks. I'm not sure why. Dave, what do you think Sam would be better at? A rap battle or a dance battle?
Oh, dance battle for sure.
This guy
has confidence. Moves.
What do we not know about Sam? Oh, we're learning things now, folks.
Bring it on. Bring it on, Sam.
You need moves with a mustache like this one.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That is not false.
Without moves.
That's true. That is true.
You could rock that look, Steve, I feel.
I've done it.
I feel like if I throw a hat on Sam, he's you.
I've done it before.
His face and yours look very alike.
I have done this exact mustache before.
You have, right?
Yes. And that year I was Ron Burgundy for Halloween.
I was like, I'm sure he's rocked that shit before.
Yeah. I still have my wax somewhere as well. Yeah. Supposedly my wife liked it, so maybe I'll do it again. But it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I can see it. I can see it.
Yeah. I got some stash going on. It's good stuff. Whose turn is it? Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Yeah.
Okay. Sam, would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility?
Flight. Because I do a lot of climbing. You know?
Okay.
I think I could fake doing some tricks that other people can't. So, yeah.
Dave, would you rather have the power of super speed or super strength?
Oh, man. I would probably go with speed because I don't know what I would do with super strength.
I'd be lifting so many things. If I had super strength, I'd just be like, look what I can do. Check out this car.
I mean, I already opened all of the lids in the home.
So you get it. Just,
so I don't need more of this.
Just think about it. Like, instead of lids, it would be like, you know, buses and
manholes.
Yeah. And Zambonis and shit. Like, you have so many, there are so many different ideas you can do.
So many things to lift and carry.
Exactly. Oh no, a tree has fallen across the road. No problem.
Da, 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 da.
Ganya man got it. Just pick it up. Chuck it back in the woods.
This is also for both of you. I'm going to ask Dave first. Dave, if Sam wasn't an indie game developer, what job do you think he would have?
I think Sam could probably be a hairdresser.
Oh, okay.
Very nice. No, don't you think?
Yeah, maybe.
I think you'd be good, man.
You got the artsy fartsy, yeah, you know, background.
He has a look. Like, I would trust that face.
I would trust you with, yeah, I would, right? Absolutely. Like, thanks, guys. Like, if you had a razor, like a straight edge razor to my throat, I would trust you.
Yeah, I would bare my naked neck.
I would not trust Andy.
No, that's some sweet.
I wouldn't trust Andy with a foam razor.
I don't trust myself.
Let alone our straight edge. Yeah. Well, we've seen what you've done to your thumbs.
And I live with people. Yeah, I'm surprised they even have thumbs at this point. Sam, what would Dave be doing if he wasn't making awesome hockey games?
I think he could run for office, do some political work. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I love the contrast.
Politician.
Damn.
One is like cutting hair and one's like
bad
running,
now.
Running the country.
I feel bad now.
That's what I want. What do you
fish? And I want to be the hairdresser of the man in power.
I like that.
Damn, first that's some pressure right there.
Mm-hmm.
The two of you are on your camping trip. Mm. It is pouring thunder lightning. You got to get back to your car. You got to get out of there. There are two paths to your car. On the left path, there is a brown bear. And it is hungry. On the right path, there is a classic Canadian moose.
I was sure he would say that.
Which path are you taking to get to your car?
Man. So we gotta decide together, right?
Correct.
Shit. I feel like for some reason we're supposed to say we'll go with the moose path, but for some reason I think moose are more.
Yeah, I'm so afraid. I'm afraid to go on that path.
Andy, have you seen a moose?
The idea
compared to a person,
the idea that men from Canada find a moose more terrifying than a bear.
A moose is a horse-shaped elephant-sized thing.
Yeah,
it's fucking gigantic
with like death claws.
Yeah,
strapped to its face.
I feel like on the road, like that's actually a real danger on the road.
Yeah,
you're in the highway. You hit a moose, you're dead, because it's so like it's kind of huge in the body, but has really small legs. So basically, what happens? You will drive right through his legs; they will break, and it would fall right on you, and you're dead. Basically,
it'll crush your car. Absolutely,
it's horrible. They're huge. So yeah, I feel like, man.
But see, I don't know enough about. Like, I know a bear can chase you and will chase you if it needs to, but like, I don't know about the aggression of the moose. I know I've seen videos of a person seeing a moose and going, absolutely not, turning around, going like, there was a video of the guy throwing his trash away. I don't know if you've seen that. He's throwing his trash away and a moose just shows up and he goes right into his like little trash thing and just closes it. And he's just like, nope, this is where I live now until moose goes away.
I would probably say moose, but probably out of not knowing exactly how aggressive can a moose get, right? But I feel like if it's like just adding on this, I feel like a mother moose.
If
the kids are nearby, it's just as dangerous as a bear for sure. They can just empower you, just run right through you with the woods.
Yeah, I think the method they use to kill something that's after the kids is to trample them to death. So they're just
and I'm not sure that's a hard task for them.
Yeah, no, they're pretty tall. So.
Maybe I don't want to go back to Canada anytime soon.
To be honest, like, you won't see moose that often. Like, I don't know when's the last time I've seen one. Must be like 12 years or maybe, I don't know. But I'm not hunting either, so not really chasing them. But
pieces will tear you to pieces.
Mutual agreement. You stay there, I stay there, we're good.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, is there a social contract between you and the meese? Like, we'll be here away from you, and you're gonna stay over there and not killing me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a thing.
Are there any moose characters in Goons?
There should be a moose boss at least.
There's a moose reference in one of the dialogue that I won't tell about.
Okay.
I think it's a clever pun. But we kind of fought the idea to put moose in the game.
Well, if you put moose, then you're going to have to put squirrel.
and beavers.
What about maple syrup? Is maple syrup in your game in any way, shape, or form?
It's a power up, obviously.
Of course,
obviously.
I didn't even know if that was true, but I feel like that's an obvious answer.
It just has to be true.
It's the nectar of the gods. It could be like an oil slick on the ice, but instead of people slipping, they just stop dead in their tracks to like suck it up off the ground.
A sticky surface.
No, they just get on their knees and drink it. Like you can't let that just sit there on the ice. You have to like
good. You gotta eat it.
And then
you guys have maple syrup from time to time.
So I purposely go out and search for like actual maple syrup. Like we get maple syrup from Vermont. Mm-hmm. You know,
what was I going to say? Yeah.
Which is basically just Southern Canada.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Accurate.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I do that, but once you do that, you cannot go back to that shitty
there's no turning back. No,
corn syrup garbage.
Sorry, Aunt Jemima, get the hell out of my house.
The United States really knows how to just bastardize good stuff, like just just destroy good stuff.
Well, imagine going your entire life only having like Aunt Jemima syrup, and then you get the real shit. Discover. It's like you're kind of thankful that you got the bad shit your entire life, and it's like it's a revelation at that point.
Yeah, because it's like $12 a bottle for it's syrup. Worth
every goddamn penny.
It's you need a really precise weather to actually have maple syrup.
Yes,
it's the thawing and the frost and that kind of. That kind of weather dynamic really makes the maple produce that syrup. But there's like a band worldwide that kind of has this really specific. I think it's in Sweden, or I don't know which country. They also have a bunch of maple and maple syrup. But it's really like don't get much of this.
So yeah.
Thankful.
I watched some videos of like people who are amateur bottlers, like they have a couple of maple trees in their yard and they'll tap it every year and they'll boil it and it's got to be like the perfect temperature and then it's got to chill at the perfect temperature and it's like it has to be put through like a cheesecloth or whatever at a certain, like it's all a science that is just remarkable to me. So yeah, it's worth the $12 for sure.
it's so good.
Where do the goons go on summer vacation?
I would be tempted to say the Museum of Charlestown, if you get the reference. Well, there's no museum, but there would be one for the goons.
Gotcha.
The chiefs, the superb chiefs. You know Slapshot, right?
Yes.
It's such, you have when you get into racer games, you actually have to watch Slapshot.
Of course,
because it's just our. You know, it's just
a
golden movie.
Yeah.
So good.
Andy, have you ever seen Slapshot?
I have not.
You should watch Slapshot.
The thing is, I mean, Slapshot is a great
Mighty Ducks
movie.
Is my...
We watched this too as a team. We watched this. The thing is, they translated Slapshot in French-Canadian.
Huh.
All the curses and all the bullshit language that you can
have.
Should
I watch it in French-Canadian?
So, actually, well, you probably won't understand, but it's so funny because
I think it's subtitles.
Yeah, yeah. But it's so
funny. Or I'll just call one of you to translate while I watch the movie.
Slapshot, I mean, is a well-known movie because, I mean, Paul Newman is a great actor and everything. But I feel like the fame for Slapshot in Quebec is just through the roof just because of that translation they made in French-Canadian. Right. It's just like people still watch this and know the references and, you know, quote that movie all the time, even though like most of the planet just forgot that Slapshot exists altogether. It's amazing. I love this movie.
Oh my God.
Charleston, Pennsylvania, fictional town. Mm. Good times. Good times. All right, Andy, it is time.
Is it the end?
It is time. We are exactly 1 hour in. It is now time for our ceremonial final question. I'll leave this up to you, Andy, how you want to phrase it and how you want to construct it.
I think I should just say it the way we always say it.
Well, I'll leave it up to you if you want it to be individually answered, if you want it a team effort. However you want to set it up.
No, we can each, they can answer them for themselves. They're big boys.
Understand.
They can own their answers and the consequences that follow.
Mm-hmm.
It is, as Steven said, a simple question, mm-hmm. yet it is also the most difficult question.
Complex.
Yes, in your entire life.
Layers.
So there's that. It's as complex as making a good batch of maple syrup. Mm-hmm. It is as deadly as a moose.
That is also, yeah, I would say, for sure.
And the question is, Andy or Steven?
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. For our audio
Sam,
listeners.
Do you want to start? Do you want me to?
Sam looks actually in pain.
I bonded with Steven on the mustache thing.
Okay. All right.
if you go back to your mustache, I think we could be mustache bros. Yeah, sure.
Mustache bros.
Roll it up. Roll it up, man.
I always have issues with this side. It doesn't get as wiry as the other side. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Is that a thing for everyone? Like to... It's a struggle because your beard, your facial hair is not symmetrical, and it's, you have a side you prefer and you kind of try to trim the other side.
This is my preferred side right here.
I do have this problem.
To our audio listeners, I am twirling the left side of my mustache.
And Sam is twirling the right side of his mustache. Yeah,
indeed.
It's mesmerizing.
We are making one powerful mustache.
I am
the youth mustache.
I will go with Andy, because I felt that I needed to bond with this guy to help him find his character on screen.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a mission that I'll might be it. a lifelong task. I don't know yet.
Actually, yeah, you know what? Accessibility option. Just have the character just hit an invisible wall that follows the screen.
You need like a Mario Kart Lakitu just come.
Yep.
String.
Yeah. Just drop you into the match. Yeah.
Bring you back. Yeah.
That'd be dope.
Can I just say, like, Dave, I feel like the whole podcast, are you like in front of a Jenga wall? And if I pull out one block, will it kill you?
It is called a Skyline Diffuser. It actually serves audio purposes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's it. It just happens to be kind of funky.
I like it.
In the wood department.
Yes. Beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to bring us to the end of the show. If you want to follow us on social media, we're at @duel_screens. I'm at @batchout27. Andy is at @pantsguy. Gentlemen, where can everybody find you, the game, all that fun stuff? Everything you want to plug it right now.
So we are on Steam. Go wishlist now.
Wishlist, right friggin' wishlist. Now. The link will be in the show notes, folks, as always.
We are on Facebook, Richard Games. We are on Instagram, Richard Games, Goons, Legends, and Mayhem. We are on Twitter, TikTok, I believe. And I think that's it.
Check Playgoons.
Playgoons.com.
Playgoons.com. And of course, don't forget, if you like what you heard just now, we have a Patreon for Duel Screens. Patreon.com/DuelScreens. And you can get all up in there. And for as little as $1, get some bonus content, hang out in our Discord. We're going to have a new member joining the Duel Screens team very soon. very soon. Things are happening. Things are moving. Mm. We also have a metric shit ton of articles from our PAX East coverage going out.
And videos.
And videos, yes. We have 6 videos currently already uploaded. Another 6 will be uploaded very soon, and then probably another 10 after that. So we got a lot. We got a lot going on at Dual Screens, YouTube.com/DualScreensTV. So don't forget to do all that fun stuff. And you know what? Maybe go to DualScreens.com/store.
Yeah.
Check out some t-shirts.
Buy a shirt. And
buy a mug.
Don't be a butt.
Yeah.
Wish list.
Yeah.
Right now.
Don't be a butt. We love you. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, viewers. Thanks. Thank you, listeners. And as always, please be excellent to each other.